Hi, and welcome to the Quit Cast for Writers. This is the show that helps you know what to quit, what to keep, and what to question. My name is Becca Syme, and I am a success coach for authors with thousands of hours in coaching some of the most successful people in this industry. My goal in this podcast is to help you understand why you're not having success if you aren't, and how to double down on the success you're already having. Anyone can tell you what worked for them, and they can say it might not work for you, but they can't tell you why. I can tell you why. Welcome to the Quit Cast.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Quit Cast. This is the final episode in the black book behind me. Why are you not selling? Why are you not writing? Why are you not successful? This is the last episode in this series. Those of you who've read the book know we're not doing an episode on every single answer to those questions because there just are too many of them. And if you really want to know them, the ones we didn't talk about, you can read the book. But I'm going to do the most important one last. Save the best for last, right? Because this is maybe the most difficult topic to talk about when it comes to why am I not selling? Why am I not writing? Why am I not having the success that I want to have? When we do our coaching, we're constantly having the conversation about the bad news. And if you've read any of my books, you know that I always have a section in there about what is the hard truth we're going to have to face in order to get through this experience together, because it's a together experience, right? And so what is the thing I have to stop doing, or what is the thing that I have to understand? And depending on which book it is or which class it is, they're all different, right? This particular question, why is this not happening for me? The most painful conversations that I have to have in my coaching practice are about expectations. When I expect something to happen in a way that it has not happened, or that it is not maybe capable of happening. So those of us who have gotten into this industry under the promise that we could make a full-time living from writing, and then have been doing it for a long time and have not yet been able to cross the threshold of making a full-time living. But we were promised that that would happen, maybe not intentionally. And this is so key. The people who promise this don't always do it intentionally. They say things like, this is what I did, or this is what, you know, X, Y, or Z person did. This is what the common wisdom is. And then internally, what happens is we start to have expectations based on what we have been told or how we understand something. And then we hold ourselves to those expectations. So we talk about this concept of essential pain a lot in our coaching, and it's a psychological practice of acknowledging the hard part of a situation that is not going anywhere. So the essential pain is, I hit my foot on the table and it hurts, and I can't just wish that pain away or focus on, you know, the pain is going to be gone at some point and then I won't feel the pain. No, I have to feel the pain because I hit my foot on the table, and that pain then becomes essential to the moment that I'm living in. So there are a couple of essential pain points that writers have to deal with when they are not having success. The first one is, and we talk about this in the book, we ignore the fact that not everyone can make a full-time living. It is not possible for everyone in the industry to make a full-time living. Is it possible for anyone to, or is it possible for any individual person? That is a different question. Is it possible for anyone? I would say, yes, it's possible, right? Anything is possible. Not anything. If you know me, I don't believe that. But I will say, in theory, anything is possible in terms of the future is yet open. But not everyone can. And this is super important to me, because when we have these expectations, we are blaming ourselves for things that are not always our fault. And I'm not saying we shouldn't take responsibility when we do things wrong. What I'm saying is, when you're doing everything right, or it appears to be right, or you can't figure out what is wrong, then looking at other factors becomes really important, because the market can only sustain what the market can sustain, which is definitely more than we have, right? The market is constantly growing. There's always new people coming in. The market is shifting all the time. But what I mean is, if you were to take every single person in the entire publishing industry right now and give them a full-time living for publishing, the market could not sustain that. It is not possible for the market to sustain that right now. And that is why we have, in free market economy, like what the publishing industry is currently, we have some people who make a lot of money and some people who don't. And that is the essential pain, the reality of life. If you have been continuing and continuing and continuing, there's something that isn't hitting right yet. And sometimes you need to just acknowledge, I haven't done it yet. And I'm going to stop trying to make my past mistakes not have happened. I need to just continue to move forward and continue to write or continue to release or do, again, I referenced the Zoe York series 2.0 concept. And if you haven't watched her YouTube videos on that yet, I highly recommend it. Or read the book, Romancing Your Brand, I think is the one that's in. Anyway, series 2.0 might be something you need to consider. There may be other things that you're doing that you need to consider in terms of the decision-making that you're happening. You may want to go back and watch our video on, am I the decider, right? There might be all kinds of things that are wrong with the construction of your career or your platform or your decisions. But does that mean that there's some kind of a reason why I am not selling, other than that sometimes books don't sell? And again, that's the essential pain. So that's the first thing I want to address. And I know I say that on a fairly regular basis, but I feel like the problem is the expectation. The problem is that some of us here, right, I know that books don't sell, but mine should. And if they haven't sold, and you have tried to fix the problems with them and it has not worked, then maybe they shouldn't sell and you need to move on, right? And write something else and let that go. Because the thing we can't do is we can't change what has already happened. We can only change what is going to happen. And if we continue to make the same decisions going forward that we've always made in the past, we're going to get the same thing out of the future that we get. This is why when we talk about adult behavioral change, we have these conversations like, well, why are people losing weight and then not keeping the weight off? And I say, well, I mean, there are complicated reasons for some of us why that happens, but it's because you're going back to the old patterns. Like you're deciding that I'm just going to do this thing for a short time and then I'm going to go back to my old patterns. Well, what did your old patterns get you? Then that's what you're going to get in the future. So if I'm not willing to change anything, which is the second reason that is the most common about why I am not successful, is that I'm not really willing or sometimes able to change anything. So there are certain things about us. And if you've watched this YouTube channel long enough, you know that I'm a strengths proponent, Clifton strengths proponent. There are some things about us that are not going to change, no matter how hard we try to change them. And if we are working against those patterns, then we are running up against an expectation that I should be able to do whatever I want. I shouldn't be bound by anything. I should be able to just think my way into not being this way, et cetera, et cetera. And those are unrealistic expectations. Is it possible to change? Yes, but it takes a lot of time and energy to do it. And again, this is why I say, why try to change things that are that cemented? Let's just work with them and try to find a way to be successful with those things in addition, because you can be successful with them. But this is part of why I talk so much about the unrealistic expectations. It's because we say things like, well, but if I could just outline, well, but if I could just dictate, well, but if I could just, you know, get 5 hours free during the day, but then there are things we either can't or won't do to change that. But we keep holding on to this expectation that things would be better if I could just do this. Things would be better if I could blah, blah, whatever it is, right? Fill in the blank. But then we're not actually making any changes, then we don't really want what we're saying we want. And I don't mean you should want it more, That is not what I'm saying. I'm not saying you should be more motivated. I'm saying there's some reason why that's not happening, something that's standing in front of you. And if you don't identify what that is, wanting it more than you want it today may not actually change. Because if the thing that is standing in your way is either unchangeable or something you're not willing to give up, sleep, for instance, some of us need to sleep for 8 hours. Some of us need to sleep for 4 hours. If you're a 4-hour sleeper and you're trying to give advice to people who need 8 hours of sleep in order to function well, then your lifestyle is not going to work for them. No matter how much they want it, their biology is working against them. Potentially their, biology is it, but different parts of their biology. It might be a systemic thing. It might be a result of decisions that they've made. It might be a result of age. There are all kinds of reasons why people need different amounts of sleep, or why some of us are morning people and some of us are night people. And yes, that is a valid reason to not write in the morning if you are a night person. There are all kinds of things that are valid reasons to make these decisions, but we constantly are trying to shoot ourselves away from what does it feel like I am really wired to do, or what am I the best at? Because we feel like there's some best practice that's magically going to fix anything. That if I could just do this, that all of my problems would be fixed. And that is such dangerous magical thinking, because it keeps us from addressing what's really going on. So let's give just a couple of examples. If the only time that you could write, if you are best in the mornings and the only time that you could write is by getting up an hour earlier and going to bed an hour earlier than you are currently doing, or if the only way you can write in the morning is to shut off all of your social media and to not check your email and to not look at your ads, and you're not willing to do that because there's something that's compelling you to not give that up, then you have to acknowledge that you're not willing to do that, and that keeping an expectation that you should somehow be able to do that without changing any of your behavior is creating essential pain for you that is making you unable to be successful, because either you're holding yourself to a standard that you can't meet, or you're not going to make the decision that you think you should make. And that's causing guilt and frustration, and again, essential pain internally, cognitive dissonance internally. And that is so important for us to understand that when we hold expectations, so the reason I use the metaphor of the table and the foot, right? Or some people use the door and the elbow, which I think is maybe more like visceral for some of us, because that really hurt. But the reason I use the table and the foot is the table is immobile. It's something that is going to be in that space in the room, regardless of whether you want it to be there or not. And when your foot moves near it, your foot either has to avoid the table, or it's going to hit the table and then there's going to be pain in that situation. It is unavoidable. If you release books and they don't sell, and no, nothing you do to them, no cover changing, no blurb changing, no rewriting can make them sell, then the essential pain is the market has decided they are not going to sell right now. And it may be right now because they may sell at some point in the future, but the market has decided they are not going to sell right now. And the market is always right. The market is always right. There's either something unfixable, or they were released at the wrong time, or there's something wrong with algorithms, or whatever it is. Like, there's always a million reasons why it could have happened the way that it happened, but we can't change what happened. And I hate to sound like Morpheus, but what happened happened and couldn't have happened in any other way. The only way you can have things be different in the future is if you make different choices going forward. Instead of hitting the table and then getting mad that your foot hurts, avoid the table. Change your path, change your expectations, right? And sometimes that is as easy as releasing the expectation that somehow things should work in a predictable way. Because of course, if you've listened to any of the other videos in this series, you know that we talk a lot about how unpredictable the market is, about how difficult it is to predict success. Even when you have success in the past, it still can be difficult to predict success. So because the market is volatile and the market is ginormous and it is full of individual decisions that you have very little control over. So anyway, All that to be said, the second reason is sometimes that we have expectations that are holding us in place. We have expectations about what our behavior should produce that we are not willing to let go of. And that expectation and also the lack of change is keeping us in the same pattern that we've always been in. And it's making it difficult for us to have success because we keep walking in the same place and we keep hitting the table and we refuse to change our expectations, which is changing our pattern. And we refuse to change our behavior because we think that we should be able to do it this way. Right. So I was telling a story to the Indie Author Magazine interview today. And I was telling about how, like, I coach people all everywhere I go. Every time somebody says something to me about, like, oh, I'm not getting this that I want, or I've been doing this and it hasn't been working out for me, et cetera, et cetera. I'm constantly jumping in and trying to coach because that's just my, like, I don't know, DNA or something. So I was talking to somebody on the plane and they were saying, oh, I can't do this. And we've been trying to do this with my business. And you know, I keep trying to do this thing. And I was like, well, have you ever tried just not doing that thing? Like the thing that you keep failing at, or the thing that you keep not having success at, have you ever tried just not doing that thing? And he kind of looked at me like that freak out wide-eyed, you know, thing, which of course I could only, because he had a mask on. So all I could see was his eyes. But I was like, the expectation that you should be able to have success at this thing, even though you've been doing it over and over again in the same exact way and nothing has been working, what makes you think that you're going to have success next time is the magical thinking. It's something that you can't disconnect unless you intentionally disconnect it. So either expect things to go differently and then plan accordingly, or change something else about your behavior. Because what you can't change is the reality. I can't change sometimes how fast I write books because there are other factors that impact that. So great. So you can't change that. All right. Let's plan then for that to not change. And let's instead change my expectations. So instead of expecting myself to write 20 books a year or 12 books a year, whatever the going rate is that everyone says you should be writing. What if I just expect myself to do what I can do and then try to create a strategy around what I'm capable of doing? If I'm only capable of giving 2 hours in the morning before I go to work, then I don't want to try to expect myself to have 5 or 8. I don't want to wish for having 8 because that's just creating frustration and essential pain in me constantly. Cause I keep being like, well, I only have 2. Well, I only have 2. And I get mad about it. And then I can't change it, or I don't change it. And then I'm stressed, right? So I'm adding stress down on top of all this stuff. So if we learn nothing else from this series, it is some of us really, really need to change our expectations, especially of ourselves, because this industry, this experience of writing is not predictable. It is not, there are no rules. It is like Vegas crapshoots. Like there are no rules. Anyway, I'm going to stop because I've already talked about this. So I want to talk about the third potential reason why I might not be having success. And that is, and this is going to be painful. We call these the damn it Becca moments around the BFA, especially in the Patreon. We talk about like when I have to say something that nobody wants to hear, and then everybody gets frustrated and they say, damn it, Becca. And I apologize for those ahead of time because I can't not say them. So here's the super hard part. The essential pain for some of us is that we are not wired to do the hard part. Like we are not, our brain is wired to help us avoid the hard part. We want to avoid the hard work. We want to avoid the hard truth. We want to avoid the hard change. We want to avoid pain. We are championship pain avoiders. As a general rule, as humans, we are pain avoiders as a rule, but there are some of us that are so hardwired for pain avoidance that we are avoiding the exact thing that would be beneficial to us. I can't tell you how many people I've coached where they've said, well, I tried to do this and then I got so stressed out that it wouldn't work that way. And I'd be like, wait, stop. Like, how long did you try it for? Like, what was your learning curve? What were you letting yourself figure out? How were you giving yourself grace to like level up each time you would do something? They're like, well, it didn't work, so I just stopped. And I was like, okay, this is like a typical gifted kid syndrome, right? Where if I do something and it doesn't work perfectly the first time, then I'm used to getting frustrated and moving on to something else. And that's normal. Like, that's really normal. And also, if what we want is actually on the other side of the dip, right, to the Seth Godin concept, where there's this hard work dip that's in the middle. And then when you get to the other side, you have more proficiency. But so many of us quit when we get into the dip. So that's that concept. Go read the book. It's great. Well, anyway, some of you won't like it, but I loved it. And that was brilliant because I'm a huge fan, obviously, of strategic quitting. You can see like my name of my podcast is The Quit Cast, because I'd rather see us quit stuff that we are not going to be successful at long term than push through and eventually be frustrated that we push through. But also, when we have that quit, like I want to strategically quit, sometimes quitting is not the right answer. So some of us, for instance, sit down to write, and because it's really hard, and we think it should be easy. And again, there's that expectation, but it should be easy. Essential pain. So my response to essential pain is to soothe the essential pain. So often my way of soothing when things get hard or frustrating is to just walk away from it. And especially those of us who are like going off and complaining about how hard it is, we hear ourselves use that language. Yeah, it's hard. It's supposed to be hard for some of us. It's not supposed to be easy. So when we have an expectation that it's supposed to be easy, then we hit up against that essential pain. And then we're always going to hit up against that essential pain. But for some of us, and I'm this way, when I sit down to write at first, it is not easy for the words to come out. It does not flow smoothly. It takes me some time to get my brain warmed up and into that spot. But when I sit down and expect it to happen immediately and it doesn't, then my first instinct is that essential pain moment, right? It's the, that was not fun. I guess I'm not as good at this as I thought I was. Maybe I should just, you know what I mean? Like, we go through all that talking to ourselves about that stuff. But in reality, we should expect some of this to be hard. It is hard work to get better at something on the level that you need to be good at it in order to be a professional. Like, you would never expect to sit down as a piano player. And I played the piano for 40 years now. Like, it is not a thing that you sit down at and become proficient immediately. Everyone who plays knows there's a learning curve and it's painful. And most people quit before they get to true proficiency because it is a lot of pain and it's a lot of work. But somehow so many of us expect writing, especially writing novels, to just be like, oh, well, I should just be able to sit down because, you know, so-and-so, whoever said, well, you can just sit down and write. It's fine. And when that doesn't happen to you, then you have that essential pain and you think, yeah, maybe I better just go, you know, do something else because, you know, I'm not good at this or whatever you tell yourself, whatever your response to soothe the essential pain is. And sometimes the soothing of the essential pain is actually moving away from the book, which could be good for some of us. But the danger is if we move into things that don't ever allow us to come back, then we are now also not making progress. So I always want to tell people who have this frustration with sitting down to write where it's hard is give yourself the time to think through it, make sure you know where you're going, write about writing if you have to, prime the pump, try to figure out, maybe talk to somebody or do the stuck list, right? We have this stuck list workbook about how do you get yourself unstuck when you're stuck. Do some of those exercises, find out what your patterns are and execute those when you are not able to write. Because when you have that moment of essential pain and you end up training yourself to not be able to handle it, right? Like, I have to walk away, or I have to not do this thing, or this gets too hard. I don't want to do that work. I don't want to work that hard. Like, that is the reason why some of us are not successful. And this is an essential pain, right? Please hear me. What I am not saying is you don't want it enough. You're not working hard enough, all those things, because those of us who tell ourselves those things, that's not why you're not having the success. Like if you're telling yourself, I'm just not working hard enough, et cetera, et cetera. I don't want it bad enough, et cetera. That's not the problem. You're not, that's not you. It's those of us who don't tell ourselves that, who need to hear, it's going to be painful. You are going to have to experience some pain in order to get to the other side of this thing that you really want to do. So do you really want it enough to go through the pain of having it happen? Because if you don't, if you would rather just go to complain to your friend that it's hard and not do it, then that's fine. That is fine. You do not have to do anything that you don't want to do. It is not required, but it might also be a reason that you're not making progress because your first instinct is to run away from that essential pain instead of to embrace it and acknowledge it and treat it as a beneficial part of the process. And I'm not just talking about writing processes here. I'm talking about everything. I'm talking about that getting stuck in the book. I'm talking about the, quitting a series and changing to a different series. I'm talking about taking down a pre-order, whatever it is that's causing you that essential pain, that there's a part of you that knows you have to do this, but you keep walking away from it because of that essential pain, that expectation that is hitting up against reality, that is making reality so painful to deal with because you're still holding on to the expectation that's pushing your foot into the table, that you're not willing to release the expectation and stop having that pain and try to renegotiate into a different pattern or try to change something. And again, I'm getting into the stuff that we've already talked about. So let's wrap this up a little bit. What do we do from here? Because this is the last of the series of the why am I not selling, what's wrong, et cetera. There's a couple of really big patterns in people who ask these questions. Why am I not selling? Why am I not having success? The first one is, and we talked about this earlier, a lot of us who wonder why we're not having success are really already having success. It's just not at the level that we would like for it to be. So we have discontent about that particular feeling. Like I am having success, but I want to have more. I want to have more. I want to have more. I keep moving the goalposts, right? Moving the goalposts is not bad, by the way. It's just, you have to know that you're doing it when you're doing it. So you don't drive yourself into burnout by trying to do more, 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 more all the time to hit this feeling of satisfaction. That's going to be very momentary when you finally do hit it, because you're going to move the goalposts again. You're going to raise the bar again. And that's a good thing. You should do that if you're wired to do that. Moving the goalposts is not bad. I don't care what anybody tells you. It's not good for everybody, but for those of us who are wired to move the goalposts, it's good for us to move the goalposts. So that's one of the main patterns that I see in people who are asking these questions. And the other one is those of us who know what we should be doing, and we just have an expectation that is keeping us from doing it. So those of us who think I should already be having this success, when I know that the pattern is people have to write 17 books, you know, whatever the pattern is, right? They have to get through the dip. They have to write 17 books or 15 books or 12 years or whatever it is, 5 years, whatever, because everybody's different. But I know that there's more work in front of me. I just want to have that success right now. So some of us literally just need to release the expectations. Like that is the thing we need to do. But because that pattern feels the same sometimes as the pattern of those of us who just need to know that we're never going to feel successful, this is why I constantly am encouraging people to come and get coaching. So I'm going to put another push in here. We are doing a free coaching on our Facebook page coming up next week. If you've never done this before and you are hearing about us for the first time and you've never experienced this ability to ask experienced coaches questions and get your individual questions answered, please come to the Better Faster Academy Facebook page. Terry and I go live online. We are there on video. You can ask us live questions. You can type in the chat. And we answer people's coaching questions live. If you have questions about why am I not selling? Why am I not successful? And please do come and ask us your questions, because I do think that it's important to have your answers be individualized. I can give the generic patterns that I see in coaching. I can try to help see the big picture of what's going on with like the larger industry, but your problems are still your problems. And it won't necessarily always help to just hear the generic thoughts. So please do consider coming to our individual like live coaching on the Facebook page. So please do tune in next week. Thank you all so much for being here and for watching and listening. And I will see you on the next QuitCast. Bye, everybody.